versus Wolverine will not be heard tonight in order to bring you another show with bites.
This is Gordon Pepper, and Wolverine wins. And Deadpool.
Yep. Yeah.
And Deadpool would be a good way to describe the Big Brother house.
Oh, gosh. We have so much to go over. And Jason's brought his big board with him, complete with red yarn. So try and follow along if you can. It's going to
right,
be hard.
Right, because we've got 2 weeks' worth of recaps because Gordon was making money for the company with the UBA, and, you know, we talk about that here. So we need to talk about Big Brother, AGT, Pressure Luck, and we have a millionaire for charity. Who will that be?
Yeah, I was going to say sort of, kind of.
Sort of, kind of. But you know what? It's somebody you know, and it's somebody you know very well. And we're going to also talk about buying and selling and lots of stuff, but a lot of stuff, not a lot of time. So if you would, Chico.
From somewhere in America, WLTI, in the dog days of summer, is on. Let's go.
Whee!
Welcome to the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast here on 5-1 Studios. This is episode 457 of the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast here. And, of course, I am Jason Block, your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, with Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, it's been 2 weeks. How are you?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I am. So let's get right to it, shall we?
Previously
on Big Brother.
2 weeks ago, Chelsea was the head of household, nominated Lisa, Angela, and Kenny for eviction after Matt was the first to leave the house. Kenny was won the power veto and took himself off the block. Tucker volunteered to be the pawn as the replacement nominee. So let's find out who saved themselves in the BAI arena and who was the second, and soon to be third, to leave the Big Brother house. Let's recap 2 weeks and find out what happened on Big Brother.
And my allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy.
So in the BBAI arena, Lisa, Angela, and Tucker competed in a puzzle challenge. They had to rebuild the security shield, and Tucker absolutely smoked them. So it was down to Lisa and Angela. We thought the vote would be close. Was the vote close? Nope. The vote was a shock to nobody except Lisa, as she was evicted 11-1. So last week's head of household competition was called Ainsley Land. The house guests had 45 seconds to scurry around a game board and accumulate points. If they fell off the board, their score went back down to zero. If they punched all the buzzer points, they reset, and a few players knew exactly what they were doing by hanging out and punching the four when it reset and hitting the four again, including Cedric, who was the new HOH. So Cedric, as part of the Pentagon Alliance, nominates Angela, Kenny, and Tucker. Tucker, Cam, and Cedric had a plan to take Angela off the block, and backdoor Quinn and get him out of the house. So, the veto competition was something called Charge My Core. You remember Operation? It's pretty much like that. The veto players were Angela, McKenzie, Tucker, Cedric, Kenny, and Leah. Game worked like this. Ainsley's power core needed a charge, and you have to help her get it to the center without losing power through the AI temple. The core could touch the bamboo poles, but not the vines. Every time that happens, the core goes down 5%. The most power with the fastest time wins. Top three were McKenzie, Kenny, and Tucker. And this is, you're going to hear this a lot, folks. Tucker wins with 65%. Now, Tucker wants Cedric to put up Quinn and take his power out of play, because people now know who has both powers by now. Quinn has the deepfake HOH, and McKenzie has America's veto. So, Tucker wins the power veto and decides to shake things up. He takes, not himself, but Angela off the block. So everything went according to plan, right, Chico? Wrong. Cedric went into business for himself and nominated Mackenzie. Mackenzie said, F that noise, and she used the America's Veto power. By the way, the America's Veto power looks like the Cena spinning U.S. belt from the back in the early 2000s. Just look telling you. So Tucker and Cedric were pissed. They were at each other's throats. So America had less than 24 hours to put up the third nominee. So, smartly, Quinn was voted the third nominee. Very cool. So Tucker, Kenny, and Quinn competed in the BBAI arena. Game is this. Ainsley had corrupted data to get in her system. Each player had 20 red balls. They had to put into two while the other balls were being blown around in a diamond head style container. You all know how that is. Tucker smoked this one too. He's out, and Quinn and Kenny are competing for the vote. Tucker votes out Quinn, duh, but everyone votes out homesick Kenny, 10-1. He, along with Lisa, are now on Chico, WELTI, Losers
Lounge
Couch.
Yes, the WELTI Big Brother Losers Lounge Couch, we all have comfortable seating. Remote control, freedom. Jennifer Lopez, soft ass cushions. Cup holder, your very own cubbyhole with an e-reader provided with your own copy of Tasting History by Max Miller, as well as the copy of the Club Gordon Banger of the Week. And it's.
I don't want to be alone. What?
Go ahead.
I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be lonely anymore.
Ooh, okay.
That's a banger. You got snacks? We got snacks. We have Goobers, Raisinets, Pretzels, Oreos, Sprees, Chewy Sprees, Hot Cheetos, and Chocolaties, Chilled Reese's Cups, Cheez-Its, Pizza Pringles, Moon Pies, Funyun, Fun Dip, Garrett Chicago-style popcorn.
Hell yeah.
If you're thirsty, you have to drink that'll cure your little loser thirst. We have Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, Snapple, Starbucks, Ocean Spray, Ruby Red, Dr. Pepper, Simply Orange, Simply Cranberry, Tang, Red Kool-Aid, Sunny D, Purple Stuff, Purple Drink,
A&W Root Beer.
And of course, the number one snack combination of the WLTI Loser's Lounge Couch, Krispy Kreme, Classic Glazed Donuts, and Izzy Soft Drink. And remember, the number one rule of the WLTI Loser's Lounge Couch, you can sleep on it, you can hog the cushions, but you do not hog the Krispy Kremes and Izzy Soda. Y'all don't come back now. You hear?
So the HOH is back up for grabs in a game we call Bad AI, or to most of us, AI. Here's how it works. Ainsley will generate three pictures of past BB house guests, but one will have an obvious error, like six fingers, underwear as sales, you know, things like that. So two players will go head-to-head, and if you buzz in with the correct answer, you'll move on and your opponent will be eliminated. You will choose the next two to go against each other. You know how this competition works. If you buzz in and you're wrong, you're out. Last person standing will be the new head of household. The game comes down to Angela and Cam, and Angela wins HOH, and Quinn is like, damn it, I'm going to have to use the deepfake. He said he didn't want to. Okay. So, of course, everyone's curious. Will Quinn use his power, and who will Angela nominate? Angela thought that Angela would nominate stuff, and then Quinn would, you know, choose it out. Oh, no. Quinn and Angela get out to meet on the same page, which didn't work. Quinn lets Chemo and T-Core he's using the deepfake. Ainsley calls into the living room, and deepfake Angela nominates Tucker, Mackenzie, and Cedric. Quinn explains why he did what he did. On Tuesday night, we had an hour-long clip show with Taylor, Jag, and Cody explaining the first 3 weeks of the season. Not because the superfans needed to, not because it was a filler episode, but for the people who watched the Olympics and said, oh, Big Brother's back. Let me see what we can do. Sorry, people. Get right, Internet. And we got the name of the next twist from Ainsley. The AI Instigator. But do we have any bleeping clue what that means? No! Because it was an hour-long filler episode, and the tease is going to happen Thursday. Anyway, so on tonight's Fido competition, we have Angela McKenzie, Cedric Tucker, Joseph, a sub from Tucker, and Brooklyn, a sub from Cedric. The game is called Binary Bridge, and in no way was it stolen from Squid Game without the death and destruction. Right, Chico? Not at all.
No. Totally legit. Totally cool.
Okay, so three first-round games between the six players will happen. A pair of players will step on the bridge. One tile will be red, and one tile will be green. If it's green, you will move forward. If not, you'll have to go back and start again. The player who completes their bridge first will move on. The fastest time will make it to the finals with a bye. The other two will compete, and the final winner wins the power of veto. The matchups are, by random draw, Brooklyn versus Cedric. Cedric wins in 3 minutes, 13 seconds. Angela and McKenzie. McKenzie wins in 7 minutes and 15 seconds. God, Angela did not know how to play this game. And Tucker and Joseph, who moves to the final, and Tucker wins in 1 minute 55. So that means Cedric and McKenzie will compete to play against him. That will be Cedric. And Cedric loses to Tucker again. So Tucker wins the power of veto, and thinking about, you know, he's like, you know, I might not use it. I might use it on someone else. Nope, he uses it on himself. And Angela nominates Rubina in his place. So we have Rubina, McKenzie, and Cedric as your final three. Who needs to win AI Arena? Who is going to go home? And what do you think the AI instigator means? Because America is supposed to be involved somehow. Gordon?
Well, it's interesting. I think Rubina needs to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have enough people that will side with one or the other depending on who it is. So I think if Rubina wins, McKenzie is gone. If McKenzie or Cedric wins, Rubina is gone.
Okay.
Because Rubina doesn't have an alliance at all. She's a floater, and in this case, floaters are bad.
Not only floaters is Rubina in an alliance, she's in a showmance with Tucker. So don't think that hasn't crossed Quinn's mind either.
Which is probably why Rubina's up there for elimination purposes.
Yes, exactly. But here's the question. Why do you think they left Quinn in when they should have got rid of him? Against Kenny.
In this case, the answer is twofold. Number one, you don't want to keep Kenny in the house because you don't know what he's going to do. And I think that was more than anything else in terms of the house decision. And number two, Quinn is part of an alliance, and his alliance was not going to turn on him. That being said, if you are not in the alliance, that is the correct answer, is you need to get rid of Quinn and the fact that he can be an HOH at any time, way, shape, or possible.
Right. But I have to say, I'm enjoying this, Big Brother. I'm enjoying the chaos. The chaos is good chaos so far.
You love the chaos. You love how everything is just impossible to figure out, but at the same time, you know exactly what's going on. Tucker was the target this week. McKenzie is plan B. Cedric is the pawn. Tucker saves himself. And now Rubina is Quinn's to Tucker for saving himself.
Pretty much. But right now, I mean, are the ratings belying it? Are the ratings good? I don't know.
Ratings are actually very good. They're holding on. They're like steady from last year, but at the same time, any time that it is not up against the Olympics, it is one of the most watched shows of the night.
Because I also think the casting is good this year too.
Casting's absolutely spot on.
It's one of the best casts in a long time. And
I know that we can talk more about this, but we need to move on.
Yes, we do. Chico, it's over to you.
Okay, so we have America's Got Talent now that the Olympics are over. And we have a live quarterfinal to talk about. We have 11 acts performing. And at the end, one of them is going to get a golden buzzer from Sofia Vergara this week. The other 10 will compete for only 3 of the spots in the semifinals in a few weeks' time. So, going over the acts, we have Flute and Incubi, which is an Aussie father and son rapper performing a song called Back Again, AGT. The kid was better than the dad. And Simon even said as much.
Meh.
Yeah. Attraction Juniors, the Hungarian shadow dancers. Everybody thought this was better than the audition. I agree with Howie saying that the audition was better.
Meh.
Liv Warfield, which was Simon's golden buzzer, sang a song called The Unexpected that she says Prince wrote it for her. Best act of the night, but it's not saying much. Also a bit self-indulgent.
Meh.
Yeah. Hyper's Kids Africa and a Ugandan dance group. A step up from the audition, but it's going to be difficult to beat out the other dance group from Africa that comes later.
Meh.
Ashes and Arrows, a country band singing Wild Horses. It was better than the audition. They have great voices. They have great tonality. They have horrible song choice.
Meh.
Los Osos High School. Biggest group of the competition, but sometimes more isn't better. Sometimes more is just more. Hakuna Matata Acrobats, a dance group from Tanzania, lights out better than Hyper Kids Africa. Sophia gives them the golden buzzer. Philip Lewis Baton Twirler. Moving on. Roni Sagi and Rhythm, Israeli doggy dancers. Arshia Contortionist, proving that horrorcore is indeed dead on America's Got Talent. And perhaps the performance of the night, Richard Goodall singing How Am I Supposed to Live Without You?
Yeah, it was the performance of the night because everything else was horrific.
That's one way of putting it. So your top 5 advancing this week are Ashes and Arrows, Attraction... Oh, wait, no. The top 5, according to the votes, I should say. Ashes and Arrows, Attraction Juniors, Roni Sagi and Rhythm, Hyper's Kids Africa, and Richard Goodall. Moving on, Richard Goodall, Ashes and Arrows, and Rhythm and Roni.
According to, and also Hakuna Matata and Acrobats. I have next week's performers, if you don't mind.
I don't.
Okay, we have Air Footworks, Alex Sampson, Ashley Montague, B-Boy Samuka, Biko's Mana, Brooke Bailey, Legion, Nini, Schumacher, Sky Elements, and Young Min. We'll see.
We will see indeed. Like I said, last week was Richard Goodall and everybody else. Except for Hakuna Matata, who got by on a golden buzzer. And good for them.
Okay.
Good for them.
Good. And it's time for some whammies. What's up?
All right. So this week we have David out of Palm Springs, who adopted a pity mix dog and is engaged. He's a retired interior designer. Timothy, a part-time farmer from Fresno who wants to build a chicken coop from scratch. And Dr. Ashley, an entrepreneur in Clayton, North Carolina, which is about an hour and a half away from my house.
Okay.
Going into the final stages, David Whammy's out. Timothy has 5,200, which includes a Rivian R2, whatever that is.
It's an SUV. It's an electric car, I believe. It's a Rivian R2 is a it is a 5-seat electric SUV.
Ah, okay. Sounds cool. So he passes to Ashley. Ashley has $6,858 worth of unlimited power, which is basically a pack of batteries and a solar panel, and then passes back with $35,566. So all Timothy has to do is avoid the whammy on the final spin.
He does.
A Givenchy collection worth $10,000 to win $62,000. So we go to the big bucks bonus round. Round 1. WrestleMania and Farm Mania. WrestleMania, of course, tickets to the 2025 event.
That's in Las Vegas.
Yep. And Farm Mania is a farming package, including your own tractor. He spins out the trip to WrestleMania and some cash, totaling
$36,338.
Round two. Anime. Damn. Okay. Yep. A Tokyo vacation for a week, including an anime tour. He hits two whammies and Farm Mania. Round three, Toyota Mania.
A Corolla hybrid.
And a 4Runner. He is up to 32,486. Round four, Love Mania. He's renewing his vows in Chile, followed by a two-week European honeymoon. He hits 8,500 in Love Mania and 3,700 to
which, break. Which, by the way, was 200 grand. 190 on 860. That's crazy. That's nuts.
That's wild. That's a lot of love, let me tell you. So he's halfway to the half million that he needs to win the million. Going into the big bucks bonanza. Whammy. Then 25,000, and then 25,000. So, to recap, he has won a Rivian R2 and a Givenchy collection. Those prizes total $55,500. Combine that with the $56,500 in cash you've won, and that gives you a grand total of $112,000. Congratulations!
There you go. Again, Rivian R2, good stuff. Okay.
Cool that they went to the car and it's theirs to keep.
We don't know about that. We don't know.
Well, theoretically, because he won it in the front game.
Yeah, but I'm just saying we don't know if it's a cash thing, like, you know, the way the shows are these days.
Yeah, I know the way the shows are. Could you even ship it out to Fresno? Oh, he's in Fresno.
Okay. If he's in Fresno, he gets the car. Okay. So let's move on to who wants to be the millionaire, because we have four teams and one of them very important. We will get to. So on August 7th we had Dave Bird, that's Little Dicky, right? I believe, his rap persona, and Gata, who, by the way, he's playing for the Fund for the School District of Philadelphia and Black Women for Wellness. They get to $250,000, okay? Because they used two of their lifelines on question nine. So for $250,000, okay. Which of the following pairs, a historical figure and the actor who portrayed them on the big screen, were never alive at the same time? Howard Hughes and Leonardo DiCaprio, Mahatma Gandhi and Ben Kingsley, Malcolm X and Denzel Washington, P.T. Barnum and Hugh Jackman. They bail. And the answer, you know, the answer was P.T. Barnum and Hugh Jackman.
I was going to guess that. Anyway.
And by the way, a Broadway show on them coming up in 2026. Then we have the Osbournes. Oh, and by the way, Nancy Christie was in the audience last week.
Good friend of the site, good friend of ours.
Yep. So then we have Kelly and Jack Osbourne playing for Race to Erase MS. They get to 32,000. But then we get the $64,000 question. They only have one lifeline left when they have this answer. In decimal form, how many current members of the U.S. Supreme Court are female? 0.19, 0.27, 0.35, or 0.44?
I got this. Now,
you do?
Now they have to use their lifeline, which is a special forces medic. But think about it. Kagan.
One.
Sotomayor.
Two.
Jackson.
3.
And
the Republican.
Tony Barrett.
The Republican one, the one.
I was trying to remember her name. Thank you very much. I knew which one you were talking about, but I was trying to remember her name.
Yes, so that would be 4/9, or close to it, about 0.44. Okay?
Right.
Because they went 0.27, and the Race to MS gets 32,000. Nice, cool, terrific. Okay?
Sure. Now we go to this week's show.
Right, and by the way, I also want to thank our good friend VRM from the BS Big Show for helping us out on this one this week, because he had it from the beginning. So,
we start with Zach Braff and Donald Faison, best friends forevers.
Scrubs, T-Mobile commercials, right?
Yep. Midnight Mission is what Zach Braff is playing for. Donald's playing for the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation, and they get to $125,000, and here it is. In The Beckham Test, a viral trend inspired by a Netflix docuseries, social media users dance in front of their partners while what song plays? Smooth Operator, Islands in the Stream, The Safety Dance, or Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
I have no idea on this. I'm looking at the answer. I've never heard of this. Have you?
I've never heard of it either. But think about it like this. The David Beckham test puts relationships to the test on TikTok as users try to recreate a scene from the Beckham Netflix documentary. They ask the audience to say... 33% go with the safety dance. 23% wake me up before you go-go. 29% smooth operation. And 15% islands in the stream. They go with the safety dance. Would you believe it's islands in the stream?
If I didn't know it, I wouldn't have. Okay. So, we get to Alan and Ike Barinholtz, hit the button, please. If you got it. Okay. So, Ike Barinholtz has won $1 million for charity before because he kicked behind on Celebrity Jeopardy. And has actually competed, in the same tournament of champions as our good friend Brian Henniger. By the way, rerunning now during the summer. They get to, okay, they get through the first 11, 12, 13 without using a lifeline. Okay?
Lifeline at 500,000.
Right. So here we go. And I knew this, but I actually knew this. What country's home to a historical marker reading? On this spot, Ferdinand Magellan died. Philippines, El Salvador, Norway, and Ghana.
Now, you know this, Jeff.
I do. Because I believe Magellan died on the world journey along with... I believe both Drake and Magellan did not survive the journeys, correct? I'm not mistaken. Gordon, do you remember what... Do you remember this?
I want to say Philippines, because that comes out of my mind, but it could, yes.
So here's the thing. The 50-50 went to Philippines and Norway. They use the phone a friend, Alex Gregory. They go with Philippines, and they're right.
Which means
so,
we are going to see a question worth $1 million. I don't remember the last time we've been here. But we're here now. Are you ready for it?
It was the time when someone won $1 million the last time on the celebrity, a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Now, that would have been cool if we were still playing Millionaire Live back then. But anyway, the question. Not including blanks or bonus spaces, the highest value three-letter Scrabble word is Zax, which is a what? A, a rare species of African antelope. B, ceramic container for holy water. D, letter of the Arabic alphabet, or D, tool for cutting roofing slats.
Now, here's a couple of stats you may not know about this particular clue. And again, thanks to VRM for this. It is a 19-point word without a bonus. I believe that is 10, 8, and 1. Correct? I believe, if I remember my Scrabble.
You're correct, sir. You're correct.
Okay.
10 is Z, 8 is X, and 1 is A.
A. Now, they ask the audience, and they rule, they go with A, which is the rare species of African antelope. So they ask the host. So Jimmy has said this. He's actually played in Scrabble tournaments and actually used the word in-game, which both players looked up in the Scrabble game, that is. Bunch made of people mad playing it too, which is a 19-point word. He says the tool for cutting roof slates. They go with D, tool for cutting roof slates. Chico, does the ASL program at the Los Encinos School win $1 million?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Ta-da! Can we get the fanfare formula? Because I think they deserve it. So congratulations to Baron Holtz, father and son. By the way, his father, you might have seen as the judge in jury duty. Remember him?
Oh. I was 8 years old.
That's correct. He was the judge. And he's now, he's actually doing a lot. He's also going to be on the NBC comedy St. Dennis Medical. So he's got a burgeoning career of his own. So, yeah, kind of cool. So we quickly must go to some reviews. What do we got?
All right, so we have two Netflix shows that have premiered over the last couple of weeks. One of them just wrapped up yesterday. Well, we're going to talk about that one. It is called The Influencer. And you all know what an influencer is. According to this show, a group of people who are bored out of your attention, who in turn come to impact your decisions. These people are called influencers. Now, 77 of Korea's biggest influencers, we're talking about YouTube, TikTok, Twitch, and a local outlet called Afresia, I believe it's called, they are competing for 300,000 Korean won, or a little over $200,000 US. And all they have to do is pass a series of challenges, eliminate their competition, and be the last one standing in order to win the prize. The Koreans are very creative when it comes to a show like this. I mean, take Physical 100, The Masked Singer, now we have this show. It's been a very good, very creative, very solid show. And it also serves as a bit of a commentary on our terminally online culture, Jason.
Which is why I cannot stand this show. None of these people are real. None of these people are organic. They're all manufactured creations, and I wouldn't watch this show if you paid me to watch it.
So it's good. It's what rare air here. Its good aspect is also its main problem. It is.
Well, actually, for me, the main problem is that it's not really an influencer show. It's a Survivor style show with influencers. That's what it is, and it's really what it is. It's a social show. And they talk about, well, I don't like this people or that people because they influence that and said that and the other thing. It is not really an influence show by any stretch of the imagination. None of the tasks are really influencer-based. it's you've seen this before, and you've seen it done better. And I agree with Jay on this one. They're only there because they're famous, which doesn't really make it interesting because there's no demystification. It turns into Survivor social media style. Sorry, C minus.
That's about right. I'm going to give it a C because the production values are very much there. It's just that the contestants take away from all of that. So it's a C.
Well, the contestants are very much not there, Jay.
No, it's a D for me because the fact is that if you're going to do a see, this is the whole. This is like reality Inception. It's a reality show about fake people. That's the way I see it. So, next one is also on Netflix. It's the UK version of Love is Blind.
I'm not going to waste too much time on this, guys. It's Love is Blind with a British accent.
And if you like the show, great. If you don't, eh. So it's a B, right?
It's a B.
C minus.
Okay, fine. Moving on to we end on a sad note.
Yeah.
We lost a very early model on the Price is Right.
80s and 90s model on the Price is Right. It was actually a face that was born out of being plucked from the crowd. A lady by the name of Kyle Aletter Oldham, who, according to a statement on her Instagram, traveled home yesterday peacefully and surrounded by myself, being her daughter, and her sister. She was one of a kind and will truly be missed by many. Please give us time and space to grieve this immense loss. In recent years, she disclosed that she was diagnosed along with her mother, Lee Merriweather, with Alzheimer's disease. She got her start as a contestant on The Price is Right in 1983.
Yep. And actually won it. She won the pricing game, and she was asked if she was interested in modeling, and because one of the executive assistants went to school with Lee Merriweather, and Kyle said yes. She was supposed to be the replacement when Holly left to try in the failed acting career. Okay.
Yeah.
She was the substitute model. She substituted from 84 to 88. She also appeared as a sub model for the Bob Eubanks Card Sharks in 1988.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in addition to her work at Television City, she was also featured on episodes of Barnaby Jones, Adam 12, Finder of Lost Loves, and the epic TV movie The Day After.
I remember that movie. Scared the living heck out of me, but keep moving.
It scared the living heck out of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about an unsung hero in the game show world here, this Kyle Aletter Oldham. So...
Mm-hmm.
We can get a moment of silence, please.
Thank you. So, that's all in Act 1. What are we having in Act 3, Chico?
Still to come, there's still time to salvage what little summer there is left, and we're going to help you with that. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1, your hope for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
I will give you 22 different Yelp items that you can rate and relax because stop picking on Angela.
Ooh.
Damn, Gordon.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I got nothing. Let's just go to break, man.
Zumba classes, restaurants, escape rooms, more escape rooms, bowling alleys. You know, anything that doesn't feature a Big Brother contestant on there that you can ruin their business with. Really?
Yeah,
like,
well.
Some of you guys really, really, really need to get a grip.
Correct.
Well, while you get a grip, we're going to get right. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
There's a place to share gossip about the office party fun and a place to share the story you tell everyone. There's a place to share a laugh about when things went wrong and a place to share the video of you dancing to your song. There's a place to share spare change, lunch, and your time. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone.
Brain Vision is presented by Physical 300. 300 pitchers will have one more shot to become the perfect pitcher. All they have to do is strike out Aaron Judge.
Oh, no!
Oh, by the way, did we mention that the pitchers are all pitchers that Aaron Judge hit home runs against? Because that would be important.
Yes.
Congratulations, Aaron Judge, on 300 home runs, the fastest to do it in the bigs.
Very good.
It's only since she walks, by the way, that is very impressive.
That is definitely very impressive. So, yeah, but again, lots of news and not a lot of time. So, if you would, Gordon.
Well, that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And please don't forget to listen to Doug every Sunday as he broadcasts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from his palatial estate in the Pine Belt over Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course all over the node on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the WXRR Rock 104 apps. All right. I have not a bat, but a giant rose.
Okay.
But first, an amuse-bouche, if you will, two amuse-bouches for Peacock as they've renewed two of their big shows. Love Island Games is coming back for a second season, and The Traitors is coming back for seasons 4 and 5. This is before, mind you, season 3 drops.
So Traitors has already been renewed for season 4.
And 5.
Wow.
Not a surprise. That's been their cash peacock for this week.
It's a really good show. I'm surprised. I'm surprised NBC doesn't, you know, repurpose it for a linear broadcast.
Because that would be too smart and too logical.
Fair play.
I mean, CBS is doing it with shows like Tulsa King, and others. So yeah, go on.
And now, but the big rose is for, we're talking about record breaking with Aaron Judge being the fastest to 300 homers. This guy is the fastest to be named The Bachelor. That would be a man by the name of Grant Ellis, who was eliminated from The Bachelorette on Monday as we record this. And Robert Mills turns around and says, "You're the new Bachelor."
Well, to be fair, these episodes are taped anywhere from months to years ago. So
right. It's like Hell's Kitchen in a way.
Yeah, well, it's exactly like Hell's Kitchen in a way. So it wasn't just like, oh, my God, we didn't see this. It was probably more like, hey, we see the ratings that are coming up on these episodes. So this is done ahead of time, but the second that you get knocked out, you're going to be announced, and so we'll just keep that going. Everybody can say, hey, Magic Films.
So now the question is, why the fast turnaround? Rob Mills has an answer for that.
Go ahead.
We are announcing Grant so quickly so people can still apply to be on his season. If you think Grant is potentially the man of your dreams or you know someone who is, apply ASAP.
Oh, God, can you read between the lines on that one?
Get a translation here? Can we get a translation here?
Yeah, we got nobody right now. We need help. We've run out of... I can't say the word I'm thinking of.
I got it right here. Strike while the pity iron is hot.
Pretty much. Okay.
Well, I'll say something else. They need more assets.
Oh, yes. They need more assets and, well, on that note.
And more titillating action.
Titillating action and assets, right.
Don't.
No, we don't. On the date book, Gordon, our date book is full, man. Oh, my goodness. On Friday is the premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars on Paramount Plus.
Global All-Stars.
Global All-Stars, yes. And the summer premiere of new episodes, right? New episodes.
Let's make a deal, primetime. Oh, I should say, a friend. I don't know if she's a friend of yours or Gordon's, Jay, but a friend of mine is going to be on the show on Friday.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Hi, Kat. Okay.
Sunday, the season finales of Love is Blind Mexico and the Great Food Truck Race Games on the Gulf. On Monday, Wild and Out has Shensia and Markel Washington, the reunion special on Love Island USA on Peacock, and the Anonymous premiere on Bravo as Sci-Fi in USA. Who knows about that one? I will check it out. On Celebrity Family Feud on Tuesday, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend versus David Chang. By the way, the only other celebrity to win the $1 million, by the way, on Millionaire. And Deadliest Catch versus Star Trek. Then Chris Redd versus and Foreman Feaster. And Stephen A. Smith versus Tamron Hall. I'm guessing they're doing two episodes on Tuesday?
Two episodes.
Okay. And on Wednesday...
Steve Harvey is done for the season.
Okay. Love is Blind UK season finale on UPEC and on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Ray Romano and Brad Garrett are playing on Jason Ritter and Natasha Leggero of Rats in the Kitchen. But let's talk about that app, though. And we have not one, not two, but three items to talk about, and they're all cool.
All right, the first one is a board game, or a tabletop game, I should say, created by a friend of the site and a friend of ours, Jeopardy legend Jackie Fuchs, or as she was known back in the 70s, Jackie Fox.
The Runaways. And yep. She has put out an incredibly, highly critically acclaimed tabletop game called Rockstar 1977. Now, Gordon, you're a music guy, okay? This was basically you have to become a rock star in the era of sex, drugs, and rock and roll in 1977. And it has been one of the top reviewed games, even at Gen Con. This is high praise for this game.
You know, if it's created by Jackie Fuchs, you know it's going to be good. And so, yeah, I can't wait to play it. I can't wait to do something with it. It's insane.
All right. Now, we've had that. Our second thing is, because Squid Game The Trials worked so good in Los Angeles, Netflix is going to turn around and do it again in New York City this fall with Squid Game The Experience. You can go to squidgameexperience.com, stay up to date with that. You will be the first to know when tickets go on sale. That would be next week as we record this. And yeah, it's basically an interactive experience for fans of the franchise.
And Squid Game, not games, game one, no S at the end. Oh, here it is.
Game Experience.
Right, there it is. I got it. The tickets will, as you said, go on sale a week from today. And I believe the experience, it starts in October. It's on 33rd Street and 6th Avenue and 32nd. And it's interesting. But the last one I cannot wait for, because I've heard of, as a Wheel of Fortune alumnus, I've known about this book for a long time.
Yes.
Wesley High. Go ahead.
No, you got it.
No, you too.
You're the alumnus. You get to do this.
Right. Okay. So Wesley Hyatt has written a book for the 50th anniversary of Wheel of Fortune called I'd Like to Buy a Vowel, Spinning 50 Years of Wheel. It is from the same company that produced all of Adam Neidiff's books, Bear Manor Media. And by the way, Spinning 50 Years of Wheel of Fortune was released on August 5th. And this is his 11th book. And I am very excited to read. I want to get this when I can. I want to read this. Cannot wait for it. This is huge. I want to read this.
Well, it's out right now. If you can, you can get it in hardcover or paperback.
Yes.
And you can get it at your local library, bookstore, or at Amazon.com. So all of those, the board game, the Squid Games, and this book, are very smart ideas.
This, not so smart at all.
That's dumb.
Are you smarter than James Taylor? No, not that one. James Taylor would be the Bachelorette alum who is arrested for assault and unlawful restraint. This is on top of a rap for driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon in 2022.
Not exactly a nice guy, but he said in a statement to People magazine, I would never hurt anybody. I'm nice to every person I meet.
Sure.
And by the way, just to let you know, according to Entertainment Weekly, take for this what you will. He was an outspoken Donald Trump supporter and was declared exiled from Bachelor Nation by Mike Fleiss after he encouraged people to storm the Capitol on January 6th. Nice guy. Real, real nice guy.
Yeah, he's a real mensch.
Sarcasm intended. But I am thirsty for haterade, and this is a good one.
This is a very good one. And this is one that you actually found shortly before going on air.
Yes, I did.
From Twitter account The Bachelor.
Yes.
This is from Sam M's dad. I choose my words wisely. I have sat idly by this week watching my son a complete wreck on how he was portrayed. Sam has mostly been the favorite with the first impression, Rose, etc. The spoiler was revealed and, in my opinion, the network had to paint Sam as this horrendous guy in order for Jen not to look like a complete idiot. Now I know why the network offers free counseling for 1 year after the show. I feel this episode was all fabricated with cut-and-paste sentences and scenes. Can't change what he said and how he said it, but they can change the scene, script, and context and totally change the delivery. That's the way I feel. Hashtag I stand with Sam M. Oh, yay, yay.
Gordon, can we talk about winners' edits and losers' edits and how that is all bull bleep moo poo?
Well, it's not bull bleep and moo poo. You're telling the story of what's going on. The good editing will show, and we've had this discussion before, the good editing will show why either person could win. The bad editing will show one person favored and then a swerve. in something like The Bachelor or you know, any talent show, you have to show why any person can win and not fake out with one and not the other. That was one of the biggest issues that this season's finale of Top Chef had. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
No bueno.
No bueno. Indeed. So where are we sending all these Bachelor people?
That doesn't sound like Lisa Stansfield.
Mm-hmm.
But there's actually a reason why we played that, and it has to do with a very important anniversary coming up next month. The Chase is turning 15 years old.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And on Monday, September 2nd at 5 o'clock, ITV will air a special 15th anniversary episode of the show. And this is on the heels of taking home the prize for Best Game Show at the 2024 Trick Awards. Some stats from our friends at Radio Times. Over the course of its tenure, The Chase has aired in more than 2,200 daytime shows, asked 235,000 questions to 9,000 contestants, and with its recent licenses in Slovenia and Romania, it has been commissioned in 21 territories, including, most famously, Australia and, of course, two versions here in the U.S.
Correct. That is currently on ABC's lineup but hasn't been renewed, correct?
Yes. Yes. It's like Millionaire. It's on the shelf for the time being. I happen to know somebody who is actually on the UK version of The Chase.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Hi, Leanne. How are you?
All right. But we have 2 weeks of media pros to go over, so let's do it.
Here we go.
Can't hear it.
That's because I didn't push the button.
Ah, there we go.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Serena Page and Janae Craig from Love Island USA signed with Gersh. Ryan Clark has been tapped to host Dating Naked UK. Kristen Kish felt the stress to step into Padma Lakshmi's apron. Ryan Benson, 20 years after winning The Biggest Loser, says, "But we already know they were setting us up to fail."
And by the way, speaking of Padma Lakshmi, she posed naked for the Pirelli calendar that's coming out next year. They just released some photos.
And that's what we call a segue, because next is John Cena, who would have rather been nude than wear a modesty cloth at the Oscars. Well, it's not like any sob or anything, but
yeah, exactly.
All of the hosts and judges will be back for season 33 of Dancing with the Stars. Good for them.
Yeah, I know the cast comes out in a couple of weeks. I can't wait to see that.
Yep. Jason Biggs assures us that no pies were harmed in the making of Blue Ribbon Baking Competition.
Good, thank goodness. I'm not hungry.
I need an adult. Colin Jost signs off from Malta in time to shoot Pop Culture Jeopardy, which begins rolling this weekend.
Yep.
I'm a bit disappointed, but it's not important why. Anyway, we lost both Kevin Sullivan and Mitzi McCall this week. Wow, those are two big names. Kevin Sullivan, he was the Taskmaster at WWE. Mitzi McCall was just on every game show in the 70s, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Match Game and Tattletales. Roy Wood Jr. has been tapped to host CNN's adaptation of Have I Got News for You? Thomas Wynn pushes back against racist messages to The Bachelorette. Blake Shelton announces a Las Vegas residency.
By the way, also, Only Connect has returned for F-Series 20.
Nice.
Go on.
And Isaac Hirsch is talking about becoming an unlikely sex symbol.
Okay. So who do you have on the pros of the last 2 weeks?
Okay. Honorable mention goes to Anna Kendrick, who was actually directed and stars in the movie Woman of the Hour. It's basically a retelling of the dating game killer story.
Ooh, okay. All right. And yes, that's coming out, by the way, October 11th, 2024. Okay?
Yes.
And she is playing, Anna Kendrick is playing, thank you Wikipedia for this, is playing the woman who he goes on a date with.
Yes.
At the time.
I believe Tony Hill is filling in for the Jim Lang role there.
You know what? He goes very well. Keep going.
Okay. Another honorable mention, Snoop Dogg, for all of his Olympic shenanigans.
By the way, Snoop is my hero. He was terrific. He was fantastic. He really was so good.
He is amazing. But your pro of the week has got to be the fabulous Baron Holtz boys.
They do.
Tonight.
For doing what happened tonight. But yes, indeed. Oh, but you also forgot about losing. Did you talk about Famous Amos or no?
Oh, we lost Wally Amos tonight. He was
yes, we did.
Of course, the cookie magnate who used his vast fortune to promote literacy. That's just amazing. You'd be hard pressed to find such heroism.
Indeed. So, kind of cool. Gordon, if you would.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
That button right there, yes.
All right.
So going into the next round, get out your wallets, get out your Venmos, get out your credit cards. How much would you pay? And we'll find out about that right after this here at 5 and 1. This is We Love to Interrupt. Let's go.
Brain Vision has been brought to you by America's Got Breakers. That's right, the best breakdancers in the world, in the universe, will show up on AGT because they have nothing else to do. That is America's Best Breakers.
Raygon. Raygon hosts. Raygon.
All I can say is, what hasn't been said about Raygon?
Would you rather watch Raygun or the Aladdin Dogs?
The Aladdin Dogs.
Aww.
But how much would you pay? That's a question we have asked many times on this show, and we're going to do it again. Chico has 6 items, which we've dealt with before, right?
Yes. Yep.
We've dealt this before. Yep. And we would say, would you pay for this? For example,
number 1. Okay, we talked about this in Brain Vision. Rock Hard 1977, Jackie Foxx's new board game for 2 to 5 players. But it works best with 4 to 5. At BoardGameGeek.com, it lists for $29.99.
Buying that, and I'm actually giving that to a couple of friends of mine.
I'm also going to give it to a few friends of mine.
I'm going to say for the, you said $29.99. I'll say $19.99.
Okay.
All right. That's fair. That's fair.
But no, I would definitely pay the full price for this. I really would. Because it really sounds right to me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Our second one. We also mentioned this in Brain Vision. I'd Like to Buy a Vowel, Spinning 50 Years of Wheel of Fortune by Wesley Hyatt. Amazon.com lists it for $32 paperback, $40.72 hardcover. I'd pay the 32. I'd wait for the 32 to get the hardcover.
No, honestly, and I love what, you know, with, you know, great writer, but that's too much for a book. Really is. I'd pay about $20 for that book, really.
As much as I like the content, I think it's a little bit too much on the pricey side. $20.
All right. All right. Our next one. A VIP ticket to Squid Game The Experience in New York City. The VIP experience includes VIP lounge access, a free drink, and this is the website saying, much, much more.
Do we know how much a VIP ticket is?
It starts at $65 plus fees.
Okay. If I am a Squid Games fan, I would pay that particular ticket. Since I am not, zero. I'm not a fan. Especially after all the stuff that's been going on with the franchise. That's all.
Oh, boy. I would not pay for a single ticket for myself. If somebody were to pay for multiple VIP experiences and were to include me, I'm not going to say no, because that would be rude, but I would not pay to go to this experience.
Okay.
Even villains have standards. Gordon?
How much is the price point again?
It starts at 65 plus fees.
Oh, that's. I can see where you'd get that price point, but for me, it's still a little bit too high. 35.
Okay.
So, I'm like a miser today.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Next up. A week vacation in Nayara Bocas del Toro in Panama. A romantic adult only Balinese inspired escape. That is you and a friend, a round trip coach from Los Angeles to Panama City, and where you will jet to your very own private island paradise, not unlike the private island paradise that people on Deal or No Deal Island played at. Jason and I ran the numbers. What did you come up with, Jay?
It was about 10 grand for everything, for a week in Panama.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know what? I need a vacation, so yeah, I'd pay for it.
I would pay for it because I too need a vacation. Gordon?
Oof. Well, I can't afford that. I don't make that money. That's beyond my pay grade.
What if you could, though?
If I could.
What if you had a particularly good tile run?
Well, it would have to be a lot better than 10,000. I'd say 3,000.
All right.
Oh, fair play. Fair play. All right. Okay. Okay, so we are up to number 5 now.
Okay.
We saw one given away on Press Your Luck. A Rivian R2, whatever that is.
I told you, it's a 5-seat electric SUV, and the base price is $45,000.
That's it?
That's it, yes. However, and here is the problem I have, and yes, this is going to show my biases a little bit. I would love to buy an electric car if we had an infrastructure for it. We don't. It is really hard to find chargers, and I've seen a lot of auto influencers who have had a lot of trouble charging their cars without, outside of their home charges. So I would not pay $45,000 for it. I would pay $10,000, and that would be too much. Throw in a charger and maybe.
Yeah, I can speak from experience, because for a while we did have an electric car, and we had we didn't have like a dedicated charger. We had a charger that you literally plugged into a standard outlet, and it took like forever and a day to charge the full. And when it did, I could only go for so much. So, yeah, $45,000 is way too much for me. I'd wait for the price to come down, and I'd also wait for the technology, the infrastructure to shape up.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Gordon?
I would absolutely buy it. I think that tech is the way of the future. I think this is a potential future thing. I would go for it. I'd rather.
Arguing that this is not the wave of the future. This is definitely the wave of the future.
And it's a gorgeous SUV. It really is, if you've ever checked it out. Rivian.com/R2. Not an ad. Hashtag not an ad.
Okay.
And last one.
Last one. Mm-hmm. So this weekend, a whole lot of our friends are going to be in Detroit for SporkleCon. The Weekend Warrior Pass is $220 plus a $15 fee. Then you still have to find a way to get to Detroit.
Oh, okay. Sporkle is one of my dream things. Yes, yes, and yes. Please.
I would love to pay for this. I cannot at the moment, which is why I'm not going to be in Detroit, sadly. But, save a seat for me next year, all right?
Indeed.
Mr. Gordon?
It's intriguing enough. I'm not sure I would do it for the full price, but I am intrigued enough to do it.
Well, you can do the basic experience pass for $120.
Yeah, but you know me by now. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'll say yes.
Okay. And guess what we have?
What's that?
We have a wild card entry.
Ooh. Okay.
A single bottle of Aviation American Gin Deadpool Edition.
Oh, because it's Ryan Reynolds and he did don't, right?
And also, he also did the Press Your Luck from a couple weeks ago, so...
Did he really? I don't think he did the voice.
I don't know if it was him, but I know it was Deadpool, so...
Of course. Actually, I would love to support Aviator Gin. I'd also love to support Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice. Doesn't Snoop Dogg have something else? Doesn't he also have his own brand of gardening supplies, shall we say?
Sure.
You know?
Gardening.
He's also has I just looked this up. He actually has a group of drinks that have certain chemicals in it. You know those particular ones.
Yeah. Why would anybody on today, April 20th, decide to put out a chemical-laced drink.
It wasn't April 20th, but yes. It's a certain chemical thing. It's called Blood Orange, Blue Raz, Cherry Limeade, and Peaches and Honies. Okay? It's got a CBD version and a CBD and THC version. Just saying. There are lots of stuff we would buy. I would do that when I had some time and I had some freedom. Okay.
I had time. I had some freedom. Maybe some spare time. Get little Snoop Dogg. Get little Aviation American Gin. Turn on the PlayStation. Fire up College Football 25. It would be
order in a bunch of munchies. Just say.
Order in a bunch of munchies. It would be Jay's color. It would be Jay's Colonials versus my Tar Heels, obviously.
I don't think the Colonials have a football team, but what we do have... No, we don't, because we're that kind of thing. But you know what? You know what I would pay for? A speed round, and we're going to do that right after this here at 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt. I'm hungry.
Me too. Munchies.
Brain Vision has been brought to you by Press Your Luck 420. It's the addition that will always keep you as high as possible. Try to avoid the pre-roll whammy, the THC whammy, and especially the Snoop Dogg whammy. It keeps going slow and slow. That's Press Your Luck 420, Ron Funches hosts.
That's all correspondence to Jason at gamesnerds.com, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
indeed. But we have a lot of speed round to talk about. Let's do that now. Starting with Big Brother. Who do you think goes home?
Oh, gosh. I think Rabina goes home, much to Tucker's chagrin.
Yeah, I think Rubina's going to have to win, and I don't see how she does that. I think she's leaving.
Then who needs head of household more next week? Tucker, right?
Either Tucker or Angela. It's going to be a drag-out beatdown.
I would say Tucker, except he seems to win everything that moves.
Yeah,
so that's... not necessarily Sugar's. It's Tucker as much as it's somebody else.
And what do you think the AI instigator is going to be?
I still have no clue. They just love to tease you with that.
Mm.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. Go on.
Okay, America's Got Talent. We have our 11 acts. Do we really care who goes on?
Not in that group, I don't think.
I don't think so. It's going to be a good show, but it's not going to be very competitive. I'm still waiting for a competitive show.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck with that.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Who wants to be a millionaire? We've seen it done once. Do we see it done again?
We may. The ratings aren't belying it, but we may. I can't wait to have it when they do real people. You know,
I'm just saying, us. I'm just saying Sony has my number.
Indeed. Indeed.
That's your luck. Do they give away the million?
No, but it's getting fun because people are trying for it.
Oh, well, Press Your Luck is always fun. Press Your Luck is fun times television. It has been for the last 41 years.
Yes. Happy fun time. Now can we get to happy, happy email?
No, we cannot get to happy, happy email, but if you want to send us up, our address is... I'm sorry, Gordon. Our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. You can follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
Oh, I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
Thank you. And I'm at GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5and1.com. or 5&1net. That is 5&1net. Of course, we are also on the webs at 5&1.net. We have everything going on network-wide. Jason and myself and BRM and Ian did a little bit of a preview of the season. We went with preseason week number one, which was a non-scoring round, but already we have our first quarterback who is done for the season.
And that would be J.J. McCarthy, the number one draft pick out of the Minnesota Vikings. He's done.
Yeah.
Torn meniscus.
Yeah, so Sam Darnold, suit up. You're driving the Vikings to 5-12 and making Paul Allen cry.
Hmm. So,
hey, what's going on the NAWC?
On the NAWC, we are, again, heading towards Bash in Berlin 2 weeks from Saturday. Lots of Bronson Reed is a monster and is crushing wrestlers left and right, like Seth Rollins and R-Truth. We're heading towards Wembley in 10 days. They're doing their first, AEW is doing their first international TV show. They're taping an episode in Cardiff, Wales next week. And again, we're heading towards lots of stuff as we head towards the final quarter of 2024 in the wrestling world. Gordon, the reason why you were away last week is you had a massively successful Battle Bowl.
Oh, we did. We did. Thousands of people showed up. Almost everything sold out. It was good. We're taking a well-deserved rest. UBA new season starts up beginning of September.
By the way, just a quick question. Was the San Antonio event just as well-received as the East Coast event?
No. That one, we had to move it. So San Antonio did not happen at that point, but there's no reason why it can't happen again in the future.
Absolutely. No, I did not know. And I hope I did not mean to insult. I just did not know. But yes. So, Chico, it was a thing. What do we got there?
All right. So on Monday, we released George, which was basically George Foreman retiring from boxing to start a youth group for at-risk kids. One of them would go on to play in The Wire.
Mm.
So there's that.
And also, your new episode just dropped as we record this.
Yes, it does. And it's one that pertains to this show, actually. Greg, Mike, and myself talk about the first episode from 1999 of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And how some of the questions were really easy at the time. And some of the questions that seemed hard in 1999 would be really easy in 2024.
But again, this was, Gordon, you could say this, 25 years ago, the game show world changed forever with this particular episode. You cannot deny this. Cannot. It's that important.
I agree with you. It really actually is that important.
And again, what's sad to me is that ABC is just burning off episodes when they should have done a whole big thing about this. But again, I'm not in the ABC Disney area. Disney's got more important things to do, as we saw at D23. But
yeah, hello, fire. Let me put you out.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, they, you know what? They put the 20th Century Fox logo in the void in Deadpool and Wolverine. Now the healing can begin.
Indeed. So what's happening next week?
Next week, we begin our 5 questions fall preview with Wheel of Fortune. So that's going to be something to look out for. We're also going to review Blue Ribbon Baking Competition and The Anonymous. So 3 items already on the schedule for next week. Plus, we're going to talk about Global Drag Race All-Stars, talk about Press Your Luck, talk about Week 2 of America's Got Talent, talk about Big Brother. We have a lot to talk about, and we haven't even gotten finished with this recording. but we will as soon as I say, for Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over and spread the love.